Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, amen. Can we thank our musicians? Can we give them a round of applause? Take your Bibles and open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to begin with verse 7. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Well, last week we looked at a passage of scripture in chapter 10 about how to handle criticism. It turns out that the people there in Corinth, many of them had turned to follow Paul's leadership, but there were still those that held out that didn't do that. There was an elite group of people. Some say they were the Judaizers that wanted people to go back to become Jews before they could become a Christian. Others believe that it was a group of people that just thought they were more gifted. They were orators. They had the truth. And even though Paul had been there and spent 18 months, a year and a half, pouring his life into the beginning of this church, they should be the apostles. They should be the ones in authority. So chapters 10 through 13 is really about the apostle Paul's authority. And today, I want to speak to you about authority in the church from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Now, if you go back to chapter 4, hold your place in chapter 10, and just go back to chapter 4 and verse 2, you see some of the criticism that they made of him. They said to him in chapter 4, verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame." That's his personal conduct. They said that he was a shameful person, that he had done some things morally wrong, and then not walking in craftiness, all right, or deceit, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That talked about his relational tricks, okay? Walking in craftiness. He said that they said that Paul was a manipulator. And then it says handling the word of God deceitfully. That is corrupting God's word and corrupting the message that he had for God in Corinth. And so those were some of the criticisms. Now we're back to chapter 10. And we realize that when handling criticism, we talked about his accusers, we talked about his attitude. He said, I came to you in gentleness and meekness. And that was the attitude of the heart. That's the attitude of a leader, a servant leader. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, he talks about how that the Gentiles lord it over people. So when you think about authority, it was all about title. It was all about that I have the title, therefore you must obey what I say. And yet Jesus said that the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was our example of servant leadership. Doesn't mean you don't have authority. Paul is later going to say, let me tell you, if I come in person, I'll be the same person. I wrote you a letter that was strong, but I'll be strong when I get there. So Paul was not a weakling. He was not weak. And yet at the same time, he wanted them to grow up and to mature. So he goes on in our passage today to talk about authority in the church and specifically the reality of his own authority. But let me read from my copy of God's Word our passage. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 and following, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word, all right? I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. "Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. Verse 8, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by my letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible or amounts to nothing. Verse 11, for such a person, consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Verse 17, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. If you count yourself as a leader and you look behind you and there's no one there, you're not a leader. The Apostle Paul was definitely a leader. He was beginning churches all over the known world at that time. What is the quality that makes leadership powerful? I remember when our kids were little, there was a man in our church that was just a deeply respected man. And I went to Bill and I said, Bill, as a dad, what do you think the number one problem with parenting is that I face? And he said, Calvin, it's hypocrisy. He said, don't be a hypocrite. Be honest. And if you make a mistake, be willing to admit it. And sometimes those like these that were the elite, they were not willing to yield to anybody else's authority, anybody else's leadership. Yet Paul says, I came to you, I started this church, and he said, I came to you in meekness and gentleness and without hypocrisy. And he said, I have a clear conscience about it. So I want us to think about today, I want you to think about authority in the church. Or you could also think about it this way, leadership in the church. You aspire to be a leader. Some of you are leading. Everybody is a leader in some realm. You are a leader in your family. You're a leader in your friendship group. You're a leader maybe at work. Maybe as a dad, you're leading your family. What can we learn about Paul when he makes the case for his leadership and his authority? How does he do it, and what can we learn from that, and what can we take from it as we apply it to the church? Well, here's four things quickly. Number one, Paul's authority is deeper than appearance. Now, he says to them in verse 7 of our text, he says to them, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? Evidently, this group was, they were inside, they were not really living it honestly, but yet they were putting on themselves the title. And so he says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? In other words, you are looking only at surface things. And actually the scripture there literally means you're the things according to the face. You know, the scripture says in the Old Testament, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the what? God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. Sometimes you may see somebody that, man, they look like they have the part. They look like they're all dressed on the outside, and they look like a leader, and yet inside they may not be the leader. He says, you're doing that. You are looking at things according to the outward appearance. It means you're looking only at the surface of things. Now, some of our scholars take this as an imperative. You know, regardless of whether he's asking a question there, in my copy of God's Word, there's a question mark in verse 7. He says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? In other words, is that what you are doing? Now, some take it to say that it is an imperative, and he basically says, look at what is before your eyes. Check out what is before your eyes. In other words, look around and be honest about leadership and who loves you and who has led you. Look at what is before your eyes. Well, the truth is that there were some deceitful people that were trying to usurp the authority of the Apostle Paul in this church, and they maybe looked the part, but they did not have the skin in the game and the background that Paul had in the life of this church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, it says this, for such are false apostles. He's calling them out, and we'll get to this chapter next time. It says, but such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Sometimes you look at something and Satan can appear as an angel of light. On the outside, on the face of it, it looks like a good thing. But we know that Satan has no good thing desiring of us, no good thing for our behalf. And yet on the outside, it may look good. That's what these people are doing. And Paul is chiding them. He's saying, look, my authority was deeper than just appearance. It's not just on the outside, all right? And then in verse 7, it also says there, it has the phrase, convinced that he is Christ's, all right? Now, those apostles, so-called apostles, were saying that that is a quality, that they were convinced that he is Christ. In other words, that he is Christ's apostle or Christ's in authority. It doesn't mean that they necessarily meant that they were Christians, okay? This was kind of a given that they were followers of Jesus. But when it says it at the end of the middle of verse 7, it says, is anyone convinced in himself that he is Christ's? Meaning that he's the leader or he's the apostle. Let him again consider this in him, that just as he is Christ, even so we're Christ. We are Christ's leader. Paul is saying, look, if you think you can deem yourself to be an apostle or the one in authority, he says, look at me again. If you think that you have it better, look again at me. In other words, you're thinking that I don't have it. Well, if you think you got it, then you better look at me again. David Garland says this, if anyone doubts, Paul is saying this, if anyone doubts that I am Christ, then how did it happen that this church was founded through my preaching? Paul is saying to this, if you think you have the authority, how did you get that? You didn't even know Jesus 18 months ago, and I brought the gospel here, is what he's basically saying to him. He's saying, your existence as Christ's church is the primary evidence that I am Christ's servant and that the Spirit of Christ works powerfully through me. So he's basically saying to them, look, my authority is deeper than appearance. You may say you have a title. You may act like you have a title. On the face of things, you may look like it. But he said, let me tell you something. I came there and from nothing started preaching the gospel. And as a result, you came to know Christ. So the Apostle Paul paid the price to be there. He's the one that loved the people. He taught the people. And these others are trying to usurp his authority. So what do we, when we think about that authority goes deeper than just the face, or goes deeper than just appearance, what is it that gives credibility to a leader? Well, it's transformation that takes place. You never know what God may do through someone. And it's not just having the right voice, the right rhetoric, the right look of things, but is there real ministry that takes place that people's lives are transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you never know what may happen. Can I tell you, as a leader, maybe in our Awana program, maybe in our life group ministry with children, maybe working with young people. For so many years of my ministry, I work with young people. One of the reasons I love young people is because they have their whole life ahead of them to live for Christ. And the blessing is amazing to see those that you can minister to and pour into, to see them living their lives for Jesus Christ. It is the greatest joy in the world. But you never know. Can I tell you this as a leader? Can I tell you this, Dad? The time you spend, can I tell you this, Mom? The time you spend pouring into your children, the truth of God's Word, you know, you may feel inadequate. You may feel like you don't look the part. You don't have everything that maybe others have, but you be faithful and you pour into them. You've got skin in the game. You're after transformation. You love them with all of your heart, and God can use you in that way. And Paul is saying this. You guys are, all of you elite people that are saying that you're really the apostle, that you're really the one with authority, he said, let me tell you, it goes deeper than just the surface. It goes to transformation. I heard the story of a pastor from England named Francis Dixon, and he started preaching around. And as he would go, he asked for testimonies, and somebody stood up in a meeting and said, yeah, one time when I was in Sydney, Australia, I was on a street named George Street, and this little white-haired man came up to me, and he asked me, he said, may I ask you a question? And I said, sure. He said, are you 100% sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you 100% sure if you died, you go to heaven? And he gave me some literature. He gave the man some literature and said, I hope you will read this, toodle-doo, and he left. I don't know if that's the right word, toodle-doo, but anyway, that's a new one. When you go out of here today, look at somebody and say, toodle-doo, okay? But anyway, so he said, toodle-doo, and the guy said, it got on my heart, and I read that material, and I gave my life to Christ. He gave his testimony. Well, that preacher, Francis Dixon, went somewhere else, and he asked for testimony. The guy said, yeah, one day I was in Sydney, Australia. I was in the Royal Navy, and I was on George Street, and this little white-haired man came up and asked me if I knew Christ. And man, I was a leader in my church, but it got on my heart, and I talked to my pastor about it. And he said, I realized I didn't know Christ. And so that guy gave his testimony. In that same meeting, another man stood up and said, yeah, that happened to me. I was in Sydney, and I met that guy. This guy began to go all over the place, even went to Jamaica and preached, and somebody stood up and said, I was in the Royal Navy in Sydney, Australia, and I was on George Street, and this little white-haired man came up and asked me if I knew Jesus Christ, and as a result, I gave my life to Christ. Well, Francis Dixon went back to Sydney. Well, you guessed it. He asked some Christians there. He said, do you know about this guy, this little white-haired man? They said, oh, yeah, that's a guy named Frank Jenner. They said, Frank Jenner is elderly now. He's older. He's an old guy, hardly gets out anymore. He said, could you take me to see him? And he went and saw him, and this pastor got Frank Jenner aside, and he told him, said, Mr. Jenner, I have been all over the world, and I'm meeting people everywhere that came to know Christ, and big old tears came down his eyes. He said, why are you crying? He said, well, when I got right with Jesus, I made up my mind that every day of my life I was going to witness to 10 people. And he said, I couldn't think of a better place to go than downtown Sydney on a place called George Street. And he said, so all my retired days I went down to George Street and just witnessed to people. He said, but until today, it's the first time I've ever known that anybody ever came to know Jesus. Frank Jenner died 2 weeks after that encounter. Man, you may think, you know, I'm in this little class here with these little boys, these little girls. Nobody knows I'm here. Nobody knows that I'm up late studying my lesson book to give them something from God's Word. You never know what may happen to one of those little boys and girls. You never know that they might come to know Jesus. They might be a witness for Christ. Paul is saying this about authority and leadership in the church. Hear me. It's not about appearance. It's not about title. It's about transformation. It's about love. It's about the gospel. It's about time. It's about pouring into people's lives. And Paul says, don't let these deceivers make you think that they're the authority. He said they're not. So, Paul's authority was deeper than appearance. Number two, Paul's authority was focused on the Corinthians' best. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. Well, Paul's authority was focused on their best. I had a pastor tell me this years and years ago when I was a young minister. He said, Calvin, take the high road for the church. Take the high road for the church. We're about to celebrate our 90th anniversary. What did Jesus say in the Gospels? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's our theme verse, by the way, for our 90th anniversary. I will build. Jesus said, I will build my church. Take the high road for the church. Don't usurp your pride in order to make division in God's church. Take the high road for the church. Maybe you feel, I hope nobody in here feels this way. I pray that that's the case. But maybe you feel mistreated in some way. Maybe that happens. Maybe I know many pastors and I know many staff members that have felt like maybe they weren't treated just right in the church. Hey, listen. Jesus Christ knows right where you are. You take the high road for the church. And Paul says, my authority was focused on the Corinthians' best. He uses that word authority in verse 8. He says there, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority. He had the authority. The Apostle Paul was an apostle. He had been encountered with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. God had anointed him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. The word authority is only used, this particular word is only used twice here and in chapter 13, verse 10. It kind of, that word represents a really strong word of authority. R.J. Banks says this about that word. He says, he does not seek to influence the members by improper means. He's not trying to use that word authority in the way that the Gentiles use, the way Jesus said, you know, don't be like the Gentiles who lord it over people. Now, Paul is saying, I had the authority. I have the authority. I'm an apostle. I have authority over you. But he's saying, I don't seek to influence by improper means to manipulate and to control his converts. And then he says this, the authority God has given him is for the building up and not the tearing down. Look at the end of verse 8. For the edification and not for your destruction. The word edification has with it the idea of an architect. Do you know any architects? I had a college roommate that was an architecture. Anybody in here an architecture major? Raise your hand. Okay, this guy needs somebody to buy his lunch today. Because I'm telling you, that's one of the hardest majors. Notice there's only one person in here. No, I had a college roommate that was an architecture major. I'd say, John, where you been for 2 days? He said, I've been up at the architecture building. I said, but don't you sleep? He said, yeah, but I'm working on models and stuff. And said, we all just go up there and we just sleep in our chair. They said, what are you majoring in, Calvin? I said, not architecture. But anyway, the point is, he was an architecture. He eventually changed to building construction, Edward. And that's what he ended up doing. But anyway, But it's that word, he says, I'm here for the edification. An architect takes piece upon piece and builds a structure. And he says, Paul says, I'm here for the betterment of the Corinthian believers. I want the best for them. I'm here to edify them, to do the best for them, not for me. See, that's what those other people were doing. You take the high road for the church. Don't take the high road for yourself as a leader. You take the high road for the church. If somebody does without, let it be the leader that does without, not the church. That's what he's saying. He says, I've come for the edification, the building up, okay? And not for the destruction in verse 8. It says, and not for your destruction. The word destruction there means to dismantle. It's like an old erector set. You ever had an erector set? I don't even know if they make that anymore. All this stuff together, you pull one part out and the whole thing may come down. To dismantle. He says, this is not why I'm here. Just as a way of application, when you think about the Apostle Paul who came for the betterment of the Corinthian believers, I had a pastor that was so trusted that the people in that congregation knew he was there for their benefit. I heard a guy say one time, that's called, and I've never heard this anywhere else, that's called moral ascendancy. Now listen, if you aspire to be a leader, do not demand followership because of your title. You know how you do it? You earn it. It's called moral ascendancy. Man, I tell you what, I don't know if I just swallowed the Kool-Aid or what, but man, when I was a kid, if my pastor had said, run into that wall over there and put your head down, I'd have probably done it. Because the other decisions that he made were for so much of the betterment of my life and the life of our church that I trusted him, and the people did too. That's how you earn leadership. Paul was saying, I came not like these deceivers that are trying to get you to follow them. And church family, I hate to admit this, I hate to tell you this, but there are a lot of people out there that want you to follow them. They want your money, they want your time, they want your talent, they want your treasure, but they just want it really for themselves. And if you aspire to be a leader, you aspire to earn your leadership. When I came here, you know, I had only done youth work. I did youth work here. I thought it was a real shock that they called me back after I'd been here doing youth work. But anyway, some of the things we did, wow. But anyway, they let me drive a bus. We had a church bus. I had 50 teenagers on a bus, and I was the driver. I was like 24 years old. Hello. You know, and anyway, they let me do it. But anyway, well, when they called and they said, would you pray about, just pray about whether the Lord might want you to come be our pastor. This was about 18 years ago. And I had done nothing but youth work. So when I felt like, Kelly and I prayed about it, we felt like God was in it, and we started to pursue that, I called a mentor of mine. I said, hey, what do I do? I said, what do I do? I'm about to be a pastor. You know what he told me? He said, preach the word of God and love the people. He said, do not do anything for 1 year except preach the gospel and the word of God and love the people. I went, phew, I can do that. So I started in the book of John almost 18 years ago. We went through the whole book of John. And I got to know our people. Of course, I knew a lot of you guys. I knew our people. I knew a lot of our people. And I'm thankful for that. But You know, I pray. Can I tell you this? The church is bigger than the pastor. Now, you ever say something and you hope you're saying it the right way, because I am a pastor, right? This church is 90 years old. I'm not the only pastor that's been here. There's been some other great pastors. Man, old Dr. N.B. Langford was a legacy pastor in this place. Man, I'm telling you, God used that man. And there are people, I meet people all over Gainesville that say, yeah, when I was a little kid, I went to North Central. N.B. Langford was the pastor. So he was a legacy pastor. Praise God for him. And others, many others. We had another red-headed pastor, a guy named Wimberly, was a pastor way back in the 50s, I think. Pat Wimberly was his name. He was a red-headed pastor. I'm a red-headed pastor. I know it's not red anymore, but anyway. But the point I'm trying to make is this church will go on without me. Right? So the church, you take the high road for the church. You take the high road for the ministry that goes forward. And here's what he said. Paul had a clear conscience. He had earned the right to be the leader there. And he says there in verse 8, he says, I've done it for your edification, not for your destruction. And then it says this, I shall not be ashamed. And it means there, it's in the passive voice, I shall not be put to shame. He had a clear conscience that he did what was best for the church. And he led in that way is what he tried to do. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Listen, as a dad, you make mistakes. I made many mistakes, tons of mistakes, and you'll make mistakes. As a mom, you'll make mistakes. As a leader in your business, you make mistakes. You make a mistake, you own it. You admit it. There's been times I've had to apologize. Oh, man, I probably apologized to Kelly more than anybody. Ugly things I've said, sharp comments that I've made, and things like that. But we need to be willing to be able to stand before the Lord one day, and Lord, help me do this. I'm not saying I do it all the time, but this is what the text teaches. The text teaches that Paul was saying to them, I did this for your good and not your destruction. And he said, I want you to know that I will not be put to shame when I stand before Jesus. Wow. So here's what I think about it. As a leader and whatever, wherever you lead out, you do everything you know to do to honor Christ. You make a mistake, you admit it. God will give you moral ascendancy. You will be respected by those that follow you if you live that way. Okay? The third thing, not only was Paul's authority deeper than appearance, not only was it focused on the Corinthians' best, but he was consistent. In verses 9 through 11, they had this thing about him that he was stronger in his letters than he was in his presence. So if you look at 9 through 11, he says, it's almost like a little parenthesis in this text. He says, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. In other words, the word had gotten back that these elite were saying, oh, Paul's real strong when he writes us, but he won't tell us that in person. He says, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. And this is him repeating what they say. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. It's probably true that the Apostle Paul was not much to look at. He probably wasn't much to look at. And evidently, his rhetoric was not all that great. But do you know anybody that's made a greater impact upon the Church of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul? You know anybody that crisscrossed the world and started churches like he did? And yet he says, I know I wasn't a whole lot to look at. He said, but I want you to know, and look at verse 11, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. In other words, he's saying, I want to be consistent. I'm going to be consistent. I think that's why that man told me when I was a young dad, he said, hypocrisy is the key. Don't be a hypocrite, Calvin. Be consistent. Be real. If you make a mistake, admit it. If you've got a conviction about it, explain why you do and take your stand. But don't act like you're always right, see? And so he said, I just want you to know I'm going to be consistent. Paul's authority was consistent. He said, I know you're saying I'm not going to be the same when I get there. He said, but let me just tell you something right now. When I show up in person, it'll be the same message. Okay? It'll be the same message. So here's the fourth thing. Authority in the church. Paul's authority was deeper than appearance. It was focused on the Corinthians' best. It was consistent. And here's the last thing. It was measured by the Lord's approval. I want you to ask yourself as you lead out, in any realm that you're a leader, ask yourself three questions. What are you measuring against? Look at verse 12. It says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. There's a bunch of people that are commending themselves. They're saying that they are the leaders. Well, I want you to know that you don't compare yourself to others. You compare yourselves to the Lord and what He wants you to do. So what are you measuring against? In verse 12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise to get up a group of people that just promote you and you promote them. You're comparing yourself to other people. Compare yourself to what the Lord. Now I think about somebody comparing themselves to just others or to themselves even. It's like the guy that was a captain of a boat and the sailor that was running the steering at the helm. He said, what do you want me to do? And the captain went out to the front of the boat, the very point of the boat, and put a light on the boat, and he said, follow that light. Well, you're comparing yourself to yourself. You're never wrong. And Paul says this. He says, Paul's authority was measured by the Lord's approval, not the approval of men. Okay? So you ask yourself three questions. What are you measuring against? Verse 12. Number two, where are you to be the leader? Look at verses 13 and 14. We, however, will not boast beyond measure. Don't brag about stuff that's not your responsibility. He says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed to us, a sphere which especially includes you. Now, Paul kind of chides him right there. He says, I don't want to take authority where I'm not supposed to take authority, which, by the way, you're in my realm of authority, he's telling them in verse 13. But I think about for us, where are you to be the leader? Don't boast beyond measure in verse 13. If you're a life group leader, take responsibility of your life group. That's your sphere. If you're a pastor, take responsibility of those you lead. If you are a dad and a mom, take responsibility of those you lead. But where is the place that you are to lead? Paul says it's not measured by what others do. It's measured in the place that God's called me to be. Okay? He does say, which especially includes you. He's basically chiding them, saying, yeah, I'm in charge of you guys. I started this church. Okay? You compare yourself to others, you're getting your counsel from the wrong place. You need to compare it to what God's called you to do, okay? So, what are you measuring against? Where are you to be the leader? What is your, excuse me, the third thing is God glorified in your leadership? He says in verse 15, not boasting of things beyond measure in other men's labors. He says there in verse 15 at the end, he says, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. Basically, Paul is saying this. He's saying, I have been involved in your lives for your enrichment. And he said, I can't go to other places because you won't get it right. Think about that. Paul is saying, this is my sphere. He said, but I want to go on to other places. In Romans chapter 15, he mentions Spain. He wants to go to Spain and take the gospel. But basically, he's saying, I can't get past getting y'all in shape, is basically what he's saying. So he says, is God glorified in your leadership? He wants to go in regions beyond. And then he says, he quotes Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, in verse 17, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. The word commends means to set in a place to recommend, to make acceptable. Whom the Lord commends is the one, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to follow as a leader. You want to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, when you come to the end of your life. And so that's Paul's authority, and there's some lessons there for us as leaders. Paul's authority was deeper than appearance. Paul's authority was focused on the Corinthians' best. Take the high road for those you lead. He was consistent. Number three. And ultimately, he was measured by the Lord's approval. There's a phrase that we've said that sometimes, you know, I serve for an audience of one. You ever heard that? I serve for an audience of one. You have some friends, college students, that believe, man, you know, these things that you thought, that you think are wrong. Oh, let me just tell you, I've been listening to this guy over here, and he thinks this is right. Let me tell you something. You get with Jesus Christ, and you live to please him. You're not living to please me. Now, if you want to know how to do stuff, I'll tell you, okay? I'll tell you my opinion, okay? But no, in all seriousness, you live to please Jesus Christ in your life. And the question is, who's commending you? Is it other people? I heard about one lady was having a tough time in her marriage. She called a neighbor. She said, I don't know what's going on with my relationship with my husband. Lady said, honey, come on over here. I'll tell you what to do. I've had three husbands. Don't compare yourself with others. Go to God. Let God be the one who is glorified in your leadership. And you answer for that. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Let's pray.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.